All right. Welcome, everybody. Mike Adams here. I'm the founder of Brighteon.com, the free speech platform, as you well know, and the publisher and founder of NaturalNews.com. Today, we're joined by the former deputy assistant to President Trump, Kash Patel, who played a key role, I believe, in helping Trump achieve many important things for America and may, in fact, be about to play a key role in what happens next. That's what we're going to find out today. He's the author of the Plot Against the King book series and has got a nonprofit website we're going to talk about here. But Kash Patel, sir, it's an honor to have you on. Thank you for all of your service to our country. It's great to have you on. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on your free speech platform. We're all about free speech platforms and people who want to put out the truth unfiltered. And I love to spend time talking to great Americans. So I'm glad Clay Clark was able to sync us.
Oh, yeah, that's great. We got to give credit to Clay. He did connect us. Thank you, Clay. And yeah, you know, look, I'm one of the people out there. You know, we built Brighteon.com. It's kind of like a smaller version of Rumble, but it's the same concept. And this is part of the way that we win. But getting to you, you know, Trump recently announced his run for the presidency, obviously, to a lot of fanfare. He's been, you know, reinstituted on Twitter, but not using that because he's on Truth Social. Where do you think we go from here? Like, what is Trump's plan, in your view, for, you know, winning the Republican nomination and taking back the Oval Office from those who stole it, by the way? Your take.
Yeah, look, I was at Mar-a-Lago for the president's announcement, and I think he laid out his vision on how to get it back. It was a pitch perfect speech. I ended up having dinner with the president privately afterwards, and I told him that to his face. I said that was substantive on every solution that we needed after you identified the problems, whether it's the border, the drugs, China, Iran, us taking out terrorists, the never-ending wars, the economy. What he did was he spoke to the entire American base and he said, look, I know we've had our ups and downs and we are definitely in a downturn right now since Biden took over. Here's what I can uniquely do. You can look at my four-year presidency and see the results. And I'm a national security defense law enforcement guy. You know, that's my background, former deputy director of national intelligence, former federal prosecutor. And yeah, I'm the guy that ran the Russiagate probe for Devin Nunes on House Intel, exposing all the FBI DOJ corruption. Right. Well, that's my wheel. I can't really talk to you about the economy or inflation or stagflation or, you know, I'm smart enough to know that we're in a recession, whether Joe Biden wants to believe it or not. But what he said to the American people was in that pitch perfect speech was, these are problems, but here's my solutions. I'm going to seal the border. I'm going to take on Xi Jinping. I'm going to talk to Vladimir Putin and make sure we don't have a World War III. These are things the American people care about. But he also said, hey, we need more jobs. We need better education. We need choice in our education system, not something that's forced down on us by a radical left ideology. These are things that resonate not just with, you know, America first, make America great patriots, but also just independents who are like every night, how do I pay for dinner? How do I stay employed? What about sending my kids to school? And how about getting the drugs out of our community, especially Chinese fentanyl? I mean, this is just, it's not even a scourge. It is a pandemic wiping out our youth.
Yes, and clearly.
These are novel issues that just aren't being addressed by the current administration.
Well, I agree with you. You know, Trump nailed it in terms of what he promises to do. And yes, the American people are suffering tremendously under the Biden regime, suffering with food inflation and maybe diesel fuel scarcity and more violence in the cities and so on. However, the elephant in the room in all of this is vote rigging. So, you know, I mean, look at Arizona right now with Carrie Lake and what's going on there. There's so much malfeasance on the part of Democrats. You know, on one hand, it doesn't matter what Trump promises to do if we don't fix the vote rigging issue, right? How do we get past that?
This is such a, you know, a great discussion point. Look, I was on the campaign trail for all of President Trump's candidates, not all of them, but a lot of them out in my home state of Nevada and Arizona. We were doing stuff in Georgia and Pennsylvania and trying to win. And President Trump did 35-40 rallies setting the main stage. And I think here's where we failed. And I don't think he failed. The candidates have to go out and campaign locally to the constituency and contest the kitchen table issues to the overarching ideology that President Trump laid out that we just talked about. And a lot of them failed to do that. And one of the big things that the Republican Party and the RNC in conjunction failed to do is take on the early voting decision system. Americans have learned that, and this is constitutional, I firmly believe this, the federal government should have no say in how our elections are set up. That's a state issue. But the costly decision that we learned was that the Democrats outgunned us in places like Arizona and Nevada and elected state AGs and state secretaries of state and state governors to implement systems that favor them. And then they ran on it. So while I get that our conservative movement is a day of voting movement, right now, we have tried for two election cycles to beat that system by just saying show up on election day, and we came up short in certain places. And so what I'm telling everybody, which is not popular in our base, but I've said it before, is those are the systems in place in flip states, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Nevada, Arizona, Wisconsin. So let's play by those rules and get our guys and gals in the positions in statewide offices, AG, secretaries of state, and governorships, and then change the rules. So that's what we have to do. We have to go out and talk to the independent voters and say, you don't need to show up on election day. This is a legal mail-in system. Use it lawfully. Get our votes out there. Get our people to go and harness the people that don't show up on election day. And it's not a popular message, but I'm telling you, that is how we win. And also, we need to challenge, like Abe Hamada is doing in Arizona, who I believe will win the next the AG race out there. But we have not banded together as a Republican Party to take these cases to court like the Democrats have.
But the reason that conservatives are voting on election day is to avoid their mail-in ballots being stolen or destroyed. Yeah. And we're aware of the U.S. Postal Service, a special division, I think, put in place by Biden, that many people suspect their job is to shred conservative ballots, you know, essentially, or to lose them. So, it's kind of like a catch-22, isn't it? If you vote early, you don't know, does it go into a black hole? Or if you vote on election day, you don't know if the machines are going to work, like what happened in Maricopa County and other places. You know, it's when the system is so rigged and you have to win in that system in order to take control over that system, you are stuck. Like, how do you ever beat the cheat?
Yeah. And look, I mean, it is a little bit of a catch-22, but I disagree a little bit. We've never tried as a party or as a movement to go big on the mail-in voting system.
That's right.
I understand the concerns and the hesitancy as to why, and I agree with them. But we, if our movement wants to go up and vote on election day, that's great. I'm all for that. But our movement alone cannot win these statewide offices and certainly not the presidency. You need independents. You need middle America to come in for you, like President Trump won in 2016, handedly. And if the systems in certain states aren't set up to support our belief system, then we got to do both. Then we have to go big and go out into the communities and say, hey, you guys go mail-in vote. And if you don't want to do it, I'll pick up all your ballots and I'll drop them off. Personally, if we don't want to use the mail-in voting system, I will take all the ballots and I will go to a lawful voting booth and I will say, here's 100 ballots from my community. It's just what they do better. And in order to fix, you have to do that first, because if we don't win, there is no fix and the rig continues. And that's why it's a hard discussion. It is. It's not one that's natural to me or, you know, the people that share our value system. But at the end of the day, if you want to change it for our children, that's how you got to do it.
Well, I think you're right, because look at the conservative victories in New York in this last election. I think that's because the GOP at the local level figured out how to carry out legal ballot harvesting. Essentially, that's what it is.
They did it in California, too. Look, I love Lee Zeldin, dear friend of mine. Did the unthinkable, came within 5 points in my original home state of New York and won us 4 House races that we had no business winning. Southern California, the same thing. My dear friend Rick Rennell, you know, has this initiative, Fix California. They registered over 50,000 Republicans to vote in the state of California. Not because we had a chance at the gubernatorial race and unseating Gavin Newsom. That's not realistic. But we won seats in Southern California and in New York that secured us the House. And what did those two states do? They are mail-in ballot states, and the candidates rode those systems to victory. And we sent a message, you know, I think a shockwave, at least Lee did, through New York by saying, New York's changing. If New York is changing, we are on the verge of pushing everyone that way. Let's use the systems they use. Nevada and Arizona. Look, I live in Nevada. That's my home. I just think we failed to communicate at the grassroots level with some of our candidates. But I also think we went big on election day voting and it cost us. I mean, it literally cost us a certain select few races. And the other thing I'll say is this, and it's not popular either, but I don't care anymore. These political consultants that the GOP and its candidates rely upon every damn day to light our money on fire. And when I say our money, it is our money. We're donating to these campaigns and they are just lighting money on fire. 13 million to lose the primary in Arizona. I don't know however many millions to lose the race in Nevada. And we haven't even talked about Pennsylvania and Georgia yet. This has to stop. We don't need these political consultants. We need our hard-earned dollars to go forth for the candidates and the policies we care about. And I'm going to say that till people start listening.
Yeah, they annihilate money faster than FTX, the crypto exchange. I tell you, they're vaporizing billions. It's amazing. And then they run on their failures. Like, oh, yeah. We lost. Now we give us more money so we can win and build a wall. And then if they ever win, they're like, we don't need to build a wall. Right? It's crazy. All right, let me ask you this. And I don't know if you're in a position to talk about this at all, but what about your position if Trump were to win? Are you going back in the Trump administration or what's your take on
Look,
that?
Look, you know, I tell people, you know, serving in the Trump administration, I served 16 years in government, Democrat and Republican. In my roles, I was a national security, law enforcement, defense guy. That's really apolitical stuff. But unfortunately, what you've seen happen is a total bastardization of the political by the politics of the legal system, two-tier system of justice at DOJ, infinite corruption at FBI, the CIA, the DOD, and et cetera. And so anybody that's willing to go in there and lay waste to that system, I'm all in. It's an honor to serve when I served under President Trump. And if he called me back in to be a part of that again, that's the only thing I would go back in government for. Because listen, after 16 years of being poor, it wasn't cool. But you know what was great? The mission. The mission that we put first and saving America and making it better was totally worth it. And I'm 100% willing to go back in there to use my expertise again. Look, I'm not the guy to hire for the economy or the trade stuff or, you know, embargoes or this and that, but I am your national security and law enforcement and intel guy. So if there's a use for me there and President Trump called upon me, yeah, overnight, I'm back in.
Well, I think there's absolutely a use for your skills, you know, investigating the Biden crime cartel, for starters, Ukraine money laundering. The list is never ending, it seems, because it seems like our the government under Biden has become a criminal enterprise. And those are my words, obviously not yours. But I mean, Newsom, you know, $1 billion disappears to China for personal protection equipment during COVID. And then nobody talks about it. It's $1 billion. Where did it go?
Yeah.
How much of it came back? You know, things like that. It feels like we're living under a crime family mafia control system right now. That's for I'm a Texan, as an American. That's what it feels like to me.
Look, and you know, a lot of Americans feel that way. And why do they feel that way? It's the one thing I've been telling and fighting against forever. The lack of accountability for government gangsters who set our laws on fire and create another level for us to participate in while they watch from above and throw stones is unacceptable. Chris Wray is front and center along with this DOJ and their political prosecutions, be it of January 6 folks, be it the lack of prosecutions for those who broke the law and created the biggest criminal enterprise in Russiagate, Comey, McKay, Strzok, Page, Fusion GPS, Michael Sussman, the list goes on, Mark Elias. And people have gotten frustrated. And that's why I went in there and investigated that nonsense. Me, a former federal prosecutor, did it. And until we wipe out this two-tier system of justice and until we can get Chris Wray to stop lying to the American public about domestic violent terrorism being on the rise and falsely labeling MAGA supporters as domestic violent terrorists. And the way you do that, yes, we didn't get the Senate, but we got the House. And congressional oversight investigations have never had more consequence in U.S. history than this coming January. And Hunter Biden laptop is a piece of it, but so is the border. So is Fauci. So is DOJ. So is FBI. They use subpoena powers like we've never seen before when the Democrats held the gavels. Now we must do the same. And I'll tell you how you solve the problem. And I know the next question is, well, they're just going to stonewall us. Chris Wray's not going to respond. Merrick Garland's not going to respond. You do what we did during Russiagate. And I was only able to do it once because Paul Ryan was too cowardly to let us do it again. You take their money. You take the government gangsters' money. Our taxpayer dollars fund these enterprises, these agencies and departments. And I'm not saying you take their entire budget. I want the hardworking men and women who do the bulk of this work for this country above board to get paid. But you take Chris Wray's private jet money and you put a fence around it. It's called a congressional fence. It's a make-believe fence around pots of money that you say, oh, you owe us information. Was Ray Epps involved in January 6th? And oh, how come it's now being reported that 8 confidential human sources from the FBI were involved in and around January 6th? I thought you said you guys had nothing to do with it. You had no intel on it until the day of. Well, until those documents show up, I'm taking your money for the relocation of your headquarters office. I'm taking your money for your travel that you don't need to do until you show up under oath with the documents and tell the American people why you lied and why you destroyed our faith in the FBI. It's very doable. And I hope this next leadership in Congress lets the chairman and women of the judiciary and respective committees come in with gusto to make sure this happens. And if they don't know how to do it, they can call me. I'll teach them.
Yeah, that's a brilliant strategy. I'm glad you've outlined that. And I think that's exactly what needs to happen. And I was shocked there was a story making its way around mainstream media over the last week or so that there are more federal agents that have been armed than United States Marines, by the way. I mean, it's an astonishing number, hundreds of thousands. And of course, you've got armed IRS agents, obviously armed FBI and so on, and State yeah. Department and whoever, you know, ATF, whatever. There's also a sense in America that there is this domestic executive army that's being raised, and the perception is, and I think it's accurate, that all of these armed federal agents are only working for one side. And, you know, it's not that people just hate the FBI or hate the DOJ. They hate the unfairness of the FBI and the DOJ, mm-hmm. right? If it were equally applied, if the rule of law sure. were in place, people wouldn't have a problem with the existence of these institutions. But they're heavily armed now with all these efforts to take away citizens' firearms. This is reaching a boiling point, I fear. What are your thoughts?
Well, listen, it goes back to what I was saying. Yes, the 87 new IRS agents that they want to arm. You know what it takes to hire and arm 87,000 IRS agents? Money. You know who has the money? Congress. Right. You know where the budgeting process starts? The House of Representatives, which is in Republican control. And while these guys may have budgeted that money, these guys, the Democrats and the radical left agenda may have budgeted for that, there is always the opportunity in the following fiscal year to fence the money. Oh, you want 87,000 guns? You ain't getting it. And we'll consider it after you show up with your government heads of these agencies and say, why do you need that? Why are we talking about targeting Americans for their political belief system and arming IRS agents when we should be reinstating our military members who were forced to choose between their faith and a vaccine that they didn't believe in order to serve their country? Everybody that was terminated needs to be reinstated with full pay. And we take some of that money and we send it over there. That's the power of the purse that Congress does have. They don't yes. need to pass an entirely new budget. Look, these are levers that the Democrats pull when it's convenient for them. They kick Republicans off committees. They take our money and they divert it for purposes such as arming an IRS so they can go after what? Us? Well, let's redistribute that while we have the power to places that it's needed. And I just gave you one example, but you know, there's 50 others.
Tell us about fightwithcash.com. Is it .com or .org?
.com, yeah. So, you know, look, long story short, I appreciate you letting me talk about it. Fightwithcash.com. Website's completely free. Every document we lawfully obtained on January 6th or Russiagate or Durham or Sussman or whatever it is out there for free on our vaults, on our document vaults. Because I believe truly that, you know, government congressional oversight, at least, and exposing corruption is an American fundamental right. And you don't have to take my word for it. Read it yourself. We put all the January 6th documents out there showing that Donald Trump, when I was chief of staff, authorized the 20,000 National Guard lawfully and correctly before January 6th. And that Mayor Bowser, Nancy Pelosi, rejected that offer in writing. We put the documents up. Those are some examples. All the media I do is up there for free. But the whole purpose of it is it's a charity. What we do is we take the money we raise, and I'm wearing some apparel, and you can go out there and check out our fun apparel. All that money goes right back into the 501c3 and legal trust. We've paid for whistleblowers who are having financial hardships. We've paid for active duty service members who need legal representation. We just bought 10 families Thanksgiving dinners for their entire families, and we are providing financial assistance to families decimated by January 6th. So, you know, we create a Fight with Cash because everybody wants to be a part of this great of a movement that just helps other people. So I thought I would take a little bit of my infamy, for lack of a better word, and put it to good use. And you know what? It started out as these mainstream media gangsters defaming me, and I took them to court. And
then, of course,
and then other people wanted to go to court, but they didn't have the money. So you know what we did? we funded their lawsuit. So check out fightwithcash.com, wear some of the swag, chuck it around. It's on fire on places like Truth Social. And just know your dollars are going to charity efforts that we've outlined, and not one person in Fight with Cash has a salary.
All right. That's great to know. And of course, folks, the word, the cash part is spelled with a K because that's your name. But I'm curious, is the pronunciation cash, is that kind of an Americanized pronunciation, or is, how would your name, would you pronounce your,
you know,
your
you're
first
the only
name?
Person that's ever asked that. I love you for it. So my full name,
I'm guessing it's Kosh.
Yeah. My first name, full name is Kashyap, K-A-S-H-Y-A-P. And then growing up, you know, it's like sort of taking Robert, making it into Rob. And then it became Kosh or Cash, half, you know, six ways one, half a dozen the other. So we sort of took it and made it the logo and sort of ran with it because, you know, it's catchy. And
it is catchy. Yeah, day, very much so.
If you can bring people into the same tent and share our values and say, hey, you guys helped these whistleblowers. You guys helped this active duty service member. You guys helped this veteran in law enforcement. That's cool. That's great.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's fantastic. Okay, so again, fightwithcash.com and spelled with a K. Okay, next question, perhaps a sensitive question, I don't know, but my audience in particular is very much pro-health freedom, and I think most of the people watching this did not take any of these vaccines, for sure, and they don't, most importantly, they don't want to be forced to take these vaccines. Now, you know, Trump had a few controversial statements, and of course, Operation Warp Speed and all of that. Mm-hmm. I think some people are holding back on endorsing Trump until they hear from him about, you know, vaccines a little bit more on the side of health freedom. Do you, and I know this isn't your focus, so, you know, that's okay if you don't have any info on this, but do you have any sense of what Trump might be wanting to do in this area?
Well, I think he announced the biggest one, which is what I share with him, which is that nobody should ever have to choose between serving their country and serving their government and getting the vaccine. And he said he's right. going to end all mandates and reinstate everyone, our military and our law enforcement, who is terminated with full back pay. That's a great first step to curing this terrible overreach by the government. And I think, and I agree with him, look, I was chief of staff at DOD and I helped roll out Operation Warp Speed. And our message has been the same since day one. We never asked or wanted it to be a mandate for everyone or anyone. We just wanted the Americans to have the opportunity to choose whether they saw it fit for themselves and their families to have it that way. And so I think, you know, also Trump relied on, and now we know, the completely corrupt Fauci. But in the beginning stages of government, you're supposed to be able to rely on your number one health expert to tell you about, you know, a plague. And that's part of the accountability that we have to course correct with Congress when Fauci gets investigated. And I think you're going to hear that sort of messaging continue. I don't think you're ever going to hear President Trump say we need to go to a mandate of any kind. He actually went out and said we're going to terminate all mandates of every kind. And so that's where I come down on, you know, the vaccine. I know it's a sensitive subject, but that's why we never said you have to take it. FBI officials have to take it. DOD officials have to take it. That was never our position. That was a Biden administration decision to politicize our health so that they could continue the narrative that the China virus was our number one enemy when in fact it was our government.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I've interviewed experts like Dr. Francis Boyle, author of the Bioterrorism Treaty of 1989 and things like that. And also Ed Dowd, who's come out with all of the excess fatality statistics and so on. Dr. Robert Malone just recently. Right. And what I would just encourage you within your circles of influence to ask people to reevaluate the new data that we have over the last 2 years. I mean, because it's rather extraordinary, the cost and there's a cost to the country, right? There's an economic cost because as Ed Dowd shared with me, there are millions of Americans now that have been disabled and removed from the labor force in addition to perhaps over a million dead. And if you think about Trump, you know, Trump is great on the economy and wants to put America back to work and have America productive and bring the industrial side, you know, back to us domestically. But you have to have workers who aren't dead or disabled, right, in order to do that. So, you know, health freedom choice actually is a pro-economy position if you think about it.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Look, we went in with this vaccine knowing that we had no testing data on it, right? So it was, we did the best we could with our experts, but you're absolutely right. There needs to be a full-on autopsy of the efficacy of the vaccine, its negative effects on people's health, especially children, which we know almost nothing about. And we're now just starting to get the data out. Now we're just getting big pharma to finally admit, oh, we actually, you know, don't really know how it's going to play out. And we also know that people lost their lives and were permanently disabled as a result of just taking it so that they could what? Go to work so they could show up in their communities. You know, I agree with you. We need to do a full-on investigation of this data that's now coming to light and use it to educate our base and the independents.
And if you were put in charge as a federal prosecutor right now, of a department, you know, had resources and money to do investigations, like what would be your top priority of criminality that's happening in this country?
My top priority would be to investigate the criminality within the government. I know crime is on the rise, and of course, we're going to tackle that. And look, I was a former federal prosecutor. I was also a former public defender, one of the few people that ever did both jobs.
Wow, so, that is interesting. Yeah.
So, you know, due process is at the core of my belief system. And when you rob an individual of their right to have exculpatory information produced to them because you want to make a political target, i.e. Mike Flynn and so many others, that is a total bastardization of due process and a breaking of the Constitution. I want to restore that faith to it. And you do that by taking on crime and, yes, taking on China and Chinese fentanyl and human trafficking and all the things we took on during the Trump administration. But what Americans, I think, want most is accountability for these government gangsters who have gone out there and politicized law enforcement and broken the law, who've gone to Capitol Hill and lied under oath, who rigged the election in 2020 by allowing false information such as Hunter Biden's laptop to be portrayed in a categorically false way just to change voters' minds. And we know the 51 intelligence officials, your audience is extremely familiar with that. And kudos to Jim Jordan for saying he's going to subpoena every one of those 51 individuals.
Right. I love that.
No, that's great. Put them on blast. And so those, when I, you know, from a prosecutorial perspective, I would look at those types of people and see if they colluded, to use their ridiculous word, which I believe they did, to upend not just an election, but to break the rules and laws at DOJ and FBI to politically manhunt people that they wanted to sideline. That's a crime. And I want to know who was involved with that. And I want to prosecute each and every one of those people, because I don't think we get back to a uniform system of justice unless we can show the American people that we have a system at DOJ and FBI that actually works for us and not the other way around. Right now, we have a banana republic and we have a two-tier system of justice that that third world republics don't even have. And we are trying to tell the world how to be a free speech, independent nation that doesn't involve politics into the law enforcement universe. I think it's the biggest hypocrisy on planet Earth.
Yeah, I think our viewers would agree with you. But I'll say right now, Akash Patel for U.S. Attorney General. if that ever opens up, I think you'd be the right person to run that. But seriously, if you're looking at corruption, I mean, it's what we say a target rich environment. There's almost no end. You could put 500 investigators on this, and they would never run out of things to look into, because there's so much corruption, even at the state level, governorships, CCP infiltration with money, mm-hmm. Big tech infiltration. And just straight up bribery, money laundering, slush funds. What are your comments on FTX and the collapse of that crypto exchange? They had donated something like $40 million to Democrats in this last election cycle. And apparently that was other people's money that they vaporized. And, you know, nobody's calling for Sam Bankman to be arrested.
I know that. So look, I'm not the financial wizard or the crypto guru, but from an investigative standpoint, I think the issues you outlined must be investigated. And look, this DOJ is probably not going to do it. So again, it falls to House Republicans. And look, the simple thing that I create, that I figured out when I was a public defender and I was a federal prosecutor and I was running Russiagate for Devin, and it's what I told him over and over again, I said, follow the money. The money never lies, and it's traceable. So we figured out the bank records, and we figured out Hillary paid for this thing and laundered it through Fusion GPS and all that and broke the dam wide open. Same thing for FTX. Follow the money. The money, it looks like, leads to a massive money laundering operation for the Democratic apparatus to hijack not just elections, but every other piece of our government. And if that's the case, get the bank records. Congress, you got the subpoenas. Issue them and then give them out to the American public, the documents, and say, yeah, they gave $40 million to this Democratic cause, or they gave $10 million to this candidate. And they used it knowing it was coming from an illegitimate source. And that's when you bring in the FEC violations, which are federal criminal violations, and you start going after them. It's a long process and it takes time, but that's the way I would approach FTX.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. But isn't there a jurisdiction problem to overcome because of their operations in the Bahamas and a lot of kind of gray area about jurisdiction?
No, I mean, because so much of that money touches the U.S., your jurisdiction is overcome overnight. I mean, it doesn't really matter. I mean, if you operated solely in the Bahamas and you had no connection to the United States, maybe, but your money is literally flowing to the Democratic Party and its candidates and constituencies in the United States of America. That's a conspiracy if there's an unlawful purpose tied to it.
And by the way, a lot of that money flowed to fund science grants to try to discredit ivermectin and solutions that would have saved American lives. That's another fascinating angle. But switching gears, what's your take on all of these billions of dollars going to Ukraine? I mean, it's approaching $100 billion that's being earmarked for Ukraine. There are no audits. There's no audits. There's no accountability of where that money is going whatsoever. You talk about a massive black hole. What would you do with that if you were in charge of an investigation?
Look, Ukraine is the modern day Afghanistan. We left one place and we just created another. And I'm a first generation American. I am all for this country when it's in a position to do so to help other nations in need. I truly believe that at my core. But what I believe above that at my core is that take care of your own country and your own citizens first. That is, take care of us, take care of Americans, take care of our border, shut down the drug trade, stop our youth from being killed by the hundreds of thousands from Chinese fentanyl, stop the human traffickers, take care of America and Americans. 55,000 homeless veterans is unacceptable on any level. And that is the current state of affairs for our homeless population. That's over 10,000 a state. That is atrocious. Take care of our vets. And then if we got leftover money after that, yeah, take care, you know, help out the Ukraine, okay? Make sure we don't start World War III, you know, but there's a difference between lighting money on fire, which is what we're doing, and having the political and diplomatic wasta to go out there and say, shut it down, which doesn't cost you anything. But it takes time to develop. And that's the difference between a Trump administration national policy and Biden administration. And they get their headlines and they say, okay, well, we're sending $50 billion more to the Ukraine. And people have the Ukraine flags up all over the country. Well, why don't you have a Marine Corps flag for the guy that was killed? Why don't you have an Army veteran flag? Why don't you have a homeless foundation to help vets get jobs? You know, the DOD is, you know, as the chief of staff for DOD and being fortunate enough to lead it in that amazing role is at the core of what I do. And if we can't take care of our active duty service members and our veterans, then we can't take care of anyone else abroad first, period. And President Trump and I share that sentiment. And I know that that's what would be restored under his administration. Like we did, we took care of the VA system, you know, and we got out of the forever wars only to have Biden disastrously have 13 of our service members killed because he let out terrorists from our prison in Bagram. And that suicide bomber was let out of that cell directly by Joe Biden, unlocking the keys and killing our men and women. That is reckless. And that cost us so much, so dearly. And you can just see the juxtaposition. That didn't happen in the Trump administration. And now what are we doing? It's the same thing in the Ukraine. I hope we don't get there. I hope we don't get to a 20-year war and a 20-year campaign and 5,000 dead Americans. But this is how it slowly starts. And the biggest enemy, and I know we don't have time to get into it today, is the defense industrial complex. We took them on at DOD. And we said, why are we giving you $100 billion? What are you doing with it? And they need to have some serious checks put in place. But because we allow people like Mark Esper to have a golden parachute out for failing a SecDef and getting a $10 million job in the defense industrial complex, that self-licking ice cream cone is not going to stop unless we take those guys on.
What a great metaphor. All right, you've got a book series also called The Plot Against the King. Tell us about that series and the website where people can find it,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, plotagainsttheking.com. And for those of you that are watching, check it out. We have a really special deal for you today. Happy Thanksgiving, by the way. I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. But Plot Against the King and Plot Against the King 2,000 Mules. So what do? We got out and we thought, hey, we need to teach Russiagate to kids. And I thought that's crazy. That's impossible. But we did in this amazing book called Plot Against the King, which is great for young adults, children, and adults. And we made the story in a fun way that shows it's not about politics. It's about Hillary Clinton and Keeper Comey and a shifty knight who are taken on by a duke named Devin and a wizard named Cash on a quest for the truth. Because at the end of the day, that's what we should be teaching everyone. And Donald Trump launched Plot Against the King on Truth Social, and it was the number one children's book in the country. And so it did so well that we did Plot Against the King 2000 Mules. And it circles back to something we talked about. In collaboration with Dinesh D'Souza, we put out a bookshot on election integrity. Why can't we teach our children history, service, mission, and faith without saying being a Republican or Democrat? Those words don't even appear in here. But we said, hey, if there's 100,000 people in land and 200,000 people voted, something went wrong. And yes, there's a photo in here somewhere of Adam Schiff being peed on by a dog. You can have fun with this stuff. There is a watermelon launch party on Truth Social where we launch watermelon heads of Adam Schiff. And these books have done so well because Donald Trump launched them, yes, but because I think they resonate with Americans who are looking for fun education stuff, especially over the holidays. We actually had John Rich, the amazing country musician from Big and Rich, write our theme song for the Plot Against the King. You guys got to listen to this thing. It's so catchy for the holidays. We're having an amazing time with it. Please go out there and stock your stuffings. Get it for your grandparents. Get it for your parents. I think they'll love it. But the holiday special, Black Friday deal only. We're giving you 20% off. I'm signing both books. We're giving you a Christmas mug that says Communist Tears on it, which is like one of my favorite things, and a Christmas ornament. So go to plotagainsttheking.com. Yes, it's how I support myself these days, but I think you guys are going to have a great time with it. Buy up these books. And as President Trump said, let's put these books in every school, in every home, in every library in America. And we're giving you a great deal today and today only, a big discount for your great show. Go to plotagainsttheking.com. And I promise you, you're going to love it. And if you don't, let me know on Truth Social and we'll fix it for you. And there may be a
what's your username on Truth Social?
Yeah, and that's the only place you'll find me on social media is Truth Social at Cash. But there may be a third book coming, and we might just have to call it The Return of the Ultra MAGA King. So stay tuned.
Okay, very cool. So that's plotagainsttheking.com. And then also your nonprofit is fightwithcash.com, and that's spelled with a K. Cash Patel, it's an honor to have you on. And I just want to say there are very few people that I would ever want to have more power in government, but you are one of those people because I think you would wield that power responsibly and ethically. And so I wish you the best in your success. And we are cheering for you in whatever happens, whatever administration, whoever wins, we want you to be there. So thank you for joining us today. It's been an honor.
No, thank you so much for having me. It's a great platform and a great program that you have. And I'm with you. We're always cheering for America and whatever role we can play to advance America's interest and keep America first, I'm all in for. And I appreciate you letting me talk about the Foundation, the Plot Against the King series. And look, happy Thanksgiving. I hope you get some downtime with the family and friends. That's to everybody. And, you know, as we run into the holiday season here, and hope to be back with you soon.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Patel. It's an honor. And yes, happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Stand by after this to finish your sync here. Yeah. But folks, feel free to repost this interview. As always, you can put it on your own channel, other platforms, spread the message, get the word out, talk about Cash's nonprofit and his book series. It's really awesome. I think I'll get some myself and pass them out to some kids locally at churches. I think it'll be great. But I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, the platform of free speech so that we can have conversations just like this without censorship. We didn't have to use code words. We just use the words we want to use, which is the way humanity is supposed to work. But thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams. God bless you all. Take care. A global reset is coming. And that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.